And now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. I have asked my cohort in crime, Sandra Myers, to come in studio. And Sandra, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Thank you, Jerry. It's always good to be here.
Now, as always, Sandra has taken a deep dive into uncharted territory. She's better than the Starship Enterprise. And I'm always curious as to what she's got up her sleeve and what we're going to talk about. This week, we're going to talk about data centers. AI and biometrics invade your life. So, Sandra, what got you to wander down this rabbit hole?
Well, there is kind of a plethora of things just kind of bombarding me, actually. And one of those things, I sent you a video. We're going to go into data centers and stuff in a little bit, but I sent you this video a couple weeks ago, and There was really two things that set me off, and this video was one of them, and it was regarding patents that Ford has filed, and of course will be instituting them in, I think it is the 2027 models, and it is about being able to, we already have smart cars to a certain extent. They can determine whether somebody's crossing your path behind you while you're backing up, which is great for if you have small children playing in the driveway, let's say. And it paces, it might hold you to a lane, or it might pace you behind if you have your cruise control on. But they have really, really upped it now where they have filed patents. I wish we could play the whole video just because the audio on it's really good. Ford has filed patents where they can read your lips, where they can sense your pulse. It's got a camera inside of it looking at you, the driver, so it's going to see your pupils. It's going to know if your heart is racing. It's going to know if your pupils are dilated, maybe you're on drugs or alcohol, maybe they're big, maybe they're small, the pupils, that is. It will know so much about you. It already records like hard braking. That's why you have the collision avoidance technology. I know that's in our 2019 truck. I know this because I set it off once or twice, not because I was in a collision, but because it was tight quarters and I knew I was going to be changing lanes. My blinker was on, but it still saw the traffic stopped in front of me and the big red lights, collision avoidance, and the Don't get me started. Anyway, so this new data that they are, the patents, I can give you patent numbers on this, the lip reading and gesture system. So if you make gestures while you're in the car at other, let's say you're irritated, road rage is taking over, and you're making terrible gestures at other people, it reads that. The patent number, let's just hit it just for fun. You might have to replay this. 202-600-95520. That is the one for lip reading and gesture reading. Okay, we have another patent. Patent filed 01044469. That's the biometrics data. It reads your face, your iris. It can even read your fingerprint. So prepare to have to use your fingerprints probably to get in your vehicle.
I wonder if the push button start isn't going to have biometric.
Whoa, I bet so. I bet you're absolutely right on that, Jerry. There's other patent numbers involved. Here's the thing. You know, when I watched this video, they gave a scenario of like an accident, and then you make it back to your truck, and the truck won't start because it's reading that your heart rate is up and that you're quote-unquote in its determination not fit to drive. We had that happen here in Texas recently with Jordan Shipley, UT wide receiver, I believe, big star with Colt McCoy and everything, and I think he went to the Cincinnati Bengals. But anyway, so he's out of football. He's got his ranch. I think he's out of football, Jerry.
Yeah, he's out.
Okay, so he's got his ranch that he and his family are running, and that's a great thing to do with the money. So he was on a skid steer, which is kind of like a bulldozery sort of thing, and it caught fire. And apparently it turned over on him, or somehow he got underneath it. And he got himself out, but not before he suffered really bad burns. Okay, he's out on a ranch. There is nobody around him, no help, no ranch hands, no nothing. He's out there by himself. He managed, even though he was burned and hurting badly, I'm sure some of the shock kind of protected the pain level initially, he got in his truck and drove miles to get to a ranch hand that could take him to a hospital. Now, what if in our infinite wisdom,
our hubris.
Yes, our hubris. We'll get more to that later. What if in our infinite wisdom, or Ford's infinite wisdom, it determines that he is not fit to drive because the pupils are going crazy and his blood rate is going crazy? They might think he's on drugs or something when all he needs is help. He would have been dead in a horrible, horrible fashion. He's doing pretty well now. He suffered lifelong injuries, but he's doing pretty well and back at the ranch and still healing. It's going to be a long process because it was just earlier this year. I think it was in February. So the thing is we're talking about Ford, and, you know, I've told this story a couple of times. Well, I just won't buy Ford anymore. Now, think about that just for a moment. Do you really think it's only going to be in Ford trucks?
Right. So Chevrolet invented the V8, and Ford wanted a V8 to match, but they had to change the cylinder numbers, the timing setup, because it was copyrighted and trademarked. So Chevy got it first, Ford got it next. This technology is not going to be in Ford only.
It's the same thing with the other new technology that we were just talking about, as far as, you know, when you're the pacing or the lane keep or the other things like that. Here's another one. This is one that's already in place. My husband and I flew to Colorado to visit family, and I rented a Subaru, the new Subaru, because that's what I drive now, is a 2015 Subaru with almost 177,000 miles. And so I rented the new one thinking, okay, great, I'll drive the new Subaru. As we were driving along, we got there. It was kind of late in the evening, about 9:30 at night, and the traffic was really light, and we hadn't been there in a couple years. So I'm looking around while I'm driving, checking everything out, and the car says to me, keep your eyes on the road. And it tells me again, keep your eyes on the road. It's like, what? This is my first encounter with this. Maybe the rental car places turn this on, because I have talked to other people who drive Subarus, and they have not noticed this, but it is there. And maybe they do that because of teens driving or what have you. Another time, same car, same trip. I'm driving down the road. We're going out to meet a niece, and it's, I'll make up the exact number, but it's 50 miles away till we get to the town where we're meeting her. And so I looked down at the odometer, and apparently my math skills are a little on the slow side. And so I'm looking down at the odometer trying to do the math in my head. And then it tells me, pay attention to the road. It's like, I do not want another one of these cars.
Buckle up, Buttercup. They're coming.
Yep.
Every manufacturer will have this technology.
That's for sure. It's everywhere. And I think I talked to one lady about this. She drives a Honda, either Passport or Pilot. And she said that she's understanding that that's in those also. And this is part of the EyeSight technology. Toyota has it. Honda has it. I'm sure the other cars do too. I can't tell you exactly what the names of their programs are. It doesn't really matter. They all have it. And that's what they do, just like this Ford technology. It may be under a separate patent for Chevrolet or Mercedes-Benz or whomever, but they will all have it. What do you do? Like I said, some people are saying, you know, well, I just won't buy Ford, but it's going to be everywhere. You know it's coming. It'll be mandated by the government, if nothing else. You won't be able to escape it. Well, I'm kind of liking my little old Subaru more and more, except that it's starting to give me, I'm noticing a little more serious issues with it here. So I don't know. I think that might jump the market for used cars that are, you know, prior to 2014, 2012, 2010, those that don't have quite all that technology.
Yeah, have you thought that the used car market was crazy during the Rona?
And it was.
This is going to multiply that.
I think it will.
It's ridiculous. You know, it was bad enough when I had my Ford Explorer, whatever you want to call it. It had the engine stop. So
yes.
If you were stopped at a light, it would turn the engine off.
Our truck, too. Ugh.
But in the Ford Explorer, I had a chance to turn that off. Biden's EPA made it mandatory that it wouldn't automatically turn off. You have to push a button every time you want to turn off this stall, whatever you want to call it. And it's aggravating. When you come in Texas.
It's also harder on the engine, too, because the oil pressure drops and
battery,
then you're having to recirculate.
The battery in Texas, we're lucky to get 2.5-3 years out of a battery with the heat that we suffer through. What happens if you pull up to a light, you forgot to push the button to turn it off, and now your car is dead, you just got to jump, and now your car is dead and it's not going to start again.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're a hazard, you're a chicane at an intersection, and then people behind are going to start waving their hands and
right.
cussing at you, and their vehicle's going to turn off because the road rage biometric data is saying they're angry, they can't drive. Now we've got a parking lot. This is not good.
I like this extrapolation, Jerry. You're absolutely right. Now, thankfully, that mandate to do the auto start stop has finally been done away with under Trump.
But this administration.
For now.
Yes.
Exactly. But those cars are already out there, including our 2019 truck, that has that, and we have to shut it off every time. It's bad for the battery, but it's even worse for your engine because the oil drops to the bottom. It loses all that oil pressure, and then it has to start recirculating. You know, it cranks back up again and start recirculating the oil. Don't even get me going on the fine-tuning, trying to get more MPGs out. Oh, I could spend a whole show on cars. I love cars, and this is one of the reasons why I pay attention to them. But the oil tech, they're fine-tuning the engine so much that some of the oil that they're recommending for cars is 0W8. Might as well put water in it.
Right.
I'm kidding. Don't do that. But you might as well put water in them. It's so thin. And so the wearability, you don't have, it's not going to last as long. Anyway, so one of the things that also got me started on this to move along, because we have a lot to cover. So the next thing that, one of the other things that drove me crazy on this show, I asked you a question the other day, a couple weeks ago or a week ago. I asked you, Jerry, I said 90% of all data, because I was floored when I read this headline. 90% of all data has been collected in the last how many years? And what did you tell me?
5 years.
It's 2 years. 90%. Almost all. Those are huge numbers. Think of all the data we know that they've been collecting up to this point. And here's the other thing. This information is over 2 years old. So imagine how much more they've collected within the last 4 years. We're probably up to numbers where it's 95% or 98% of all data has been collected in the last 4 years. Here's the bottom line on this. You are no longer a person. Whether they sell shoes, whether they sell green peas or steaks or whatever, none of that matters. You're not a person anymore. There's no products anymore. It's data. You and your life have been reduced to nothing but an exchange of data. The product does not matter. Where you're going or what you're doing does not matter, except in terms of collecting data so that they can feed you more data also and manipulate you.
You know, this makes perfect sense, because you and I were talking one day, just talking. We both have cell phones. You have your computer. I have mine. And we're just talking. And then later we get home and you're surfing the web, and all of a sudden this ad pops up for something we had just talked about that day.
And I did not do a search for it. It just heard me talking. That has happened on numerous occasions.
So I'm going to say this, because we are recording. You're going to get home tonight and you're going to find advertisements for 2027 Subarus that are going to pop up and try to sell you a new Subaru just because a phone or a computer heard us talk about vehicles.
And you know, when I did the two programs on digital life, I did your digital life and then MKUltra in the digital age. I don't have the words nor the depth of being able to convey how much they know, how much they can tell about you. The joke was during the Cambridge Analytica, the line then was how Facebook knows you better than your spouse does. If you've made X number of posts, and it's a very small number, it's like a dozen or maybe it's a couple dozen, maybe it's even 50 posts or likes, because it puts together all of this data. It's like a mathematical, it is a mathematical computation. Because it's like, if this, then this. And then you have a whole stream of if this, then this. So if you stop at the grocery store or the convenience store every day on the way home, you're probably using your debit card and you buy a 6-pack, 12-pack. I don't think they even come in 6-packs anymore. A beer. It starts extrapolating. You may have an alcohol problem, especially if you do that every day. And then it starts also looking at your potential health risk. Do you buy that steak? Do you buy that hamburger? Do you go through the McDonald's drive-thru? It starts compiling all of this data. So maybe you also watch late night TV and it says, okay, this person also doesn't sleep well. And if you have a cell phone, it's always listening. Somebody told me that they have, I know several people, that have Roomba vacuum cleaners.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry.
Yeah?
They have microphones.
And cameras.
Well, I kind of understand the camera so that it can see where it's going as it's going along your floor. Why does it need a microphone?
Oh, same reason that Alexa has a microphone always on. They're gathering data.
Well, if you put an Alexa in your home, and I admit I have one, but it was because of my husband's health issues, and I was afraid he would fall and not have his phone handy so he could call out, you know, Alexa, call Sandra. So I purposely put that in my phone. I have taken it out of a couple rooms because I've determined that I do not need them there. But I put it in my home knowing it is a listening device. You would not think that that is true for your Roomba. You would not think that that's true for your refrigerator. You may or may not think about it in terms of your TV, but it's true for that too. You know your computer's listening. You know your phone is listening. But your car is listening. One last thing on the cars, and then I think we have to go on to the data centers and stuff. On cars, I'm going to admit something. I talk to myself. Sometimes I need expert advice.
Exactly.
I'm kidding. I'm much more humble than that. But I do talk to myself out loud, and I hope they're listening when I'm singing. Oh, my goodness. That is not one of the talents that God has blessed me with, but I sing anyway. Anyway, so when I'm talking to myself, it is primarily because I'm kind of trying to work out an issue in my head, but I don't need them listening, but they are. So if you talk to yourself while you're driving, I don't know, you might have to turn up the radio. I don't know, it probably has the capacity to tune that out, kind of like noise-canceling Bose headphones.
Mm-hmm.
It can probably tune that out and still hear you plain as day as though it's not going on. So I talk to myself, I admit it, and ever since reading about the Ford truck, I have really been thinking about that when I'm talking to myself in the car. It's like, I guess I need to stop talking to myself. No phone, no car. I'm just going to have to go for a walk out down by the lake without my phone so that I can have a conversation and work out whatever it is that's going in my head. Sometimes I'm praying out loud to the Lord. But sometimes I'm talking to myself trying to work out difficulties in my life. It's a release.
Yeah. Now, going back to the Roomba real quick. You know it's casing your house. It's got
the perfect floor plan.
Knows your floor plan. It knows where your furniture is located. It knows every room. And then the camera just backs it up. There was an article where...
I bet it knows how many dogs you have.
Oh, I'm sure.
Or cats or whatever else.
Or critters. But there was a woman who was utilizing her facilities, and those pictures ended up on the web.
I heard that.
Because the data center in the Philippines, these guys thought it was cute to see her with her pants around her ankles, and they shared these pictures. And if it's out there, it's out there
for everybody. Yeah. There's your Roomba for you.
Yeah.
And other whatever smart type of things.
Yeah, now we got smart fridge, we got smart TV, we got the Roomba, we got the Alexa, got cell phones that track your every move,
right.
Smart watch.
Oh, yes. I quit wearing mine. I bought one. I made the mistake of buying one.
Smart beds?
I don't have a smart bed, thankfully.
But they're out there, and they're measuring your biometrics, your heart rate. Your...
Oh, that's right. Because even like the sleep number bed?
Yep.
Doesn't that kind of adjust the comfort? Let's say you're getting hot. It's got a thermoregulator in it where it's going to...
Yeah. It's crazy. The amount of data collection, I think 98% might be a little generous because they are tracking. You're not anonymous anymore.
You're not. And it's all about data. And it's all about, like I told you a moment ago, if this, then this. And you have all of these streams of this that merge all together. And that is why they know you better than your spouse does. It's crazy.
It's scary.
Tesla has this. So the electric cars, well, we would expect it with the electric cars. But, you know, good old boys and their pickup trucks, they might not really think about it being in there, but it is. Now, maybe that's who they're trying to protect us from, is the good old boys who stop and get a couple beers on the way home. I don't buy that.
No, it's You know, the World Economic Forum brought out the 15-minute city during the scamdemic and wanting to get everybody in close proximity. But data collection is going to increase that. I mean, it's already a small world. You run into somebody that knows a friend of yours that you graduated high school from, and it's like, well, this is crazy. But they are shrinking it every day with this data.
But the problem is it's not just running into an old friend and playing catch up. It's all about the data. And here's the other thing, too, with these vehicles. They will also have sensors and readers about the other vehicles around them. So if I'm driving my older non-high-tech car, it will still know. It will probably have something like the flock cameras, which is a whole nother story. They all the license plate readers everywhere. But my computer, if I were driving a new car or truck or whatever that has the new technology, it will be talking to the other cars too. So this way, if there's, let's say there's a fender bender or something else is happening in that vicinity or you're aggressively driving, it will kind of talk to the other cars. It will always know where you are. It kind of reminds me a little bit of that. Two things. There was a show called Person of Interest, and the way they pictured that was that it was looking at everybody's faces and all the license plates, so it always knew precisely where you were, and a phone booth, if there was one, could ring right there as you were walking past it. It kind of reminds me of that sort of thing, and that is what it is. These TV shows don't just kind of come out of the blue. It's where the technology is headed anyway. And then you will also have something like Minority Report, that movie, where about thought crime, not about thought crime, but pre-crime, it will know that you are angry and that you've made certain gestures, and it'll see or feel your biometrics and your blood pressure going up. And, you know, if you have a concealed carry permit or you buy ammo, or anything on your card, it's going to know that you have these things, and so you are a potential crime waiting to happen. But back to the thing, it'll also talk to all the cars around you, so that they will, I have not even extrapolated how far that can go. But it will always know where you're at, and who, it's kind of like the, what is that term, Jerry, where, it's like a gate thing. Where all the cell phones are in one area, and it knows this is how they did the January 6th thing. It read that all these cell phones were in this particular area, and this is it didn't matter if you were wearing a mask. It knew that you were there because of your cell phone geofencing.
Okay.
Geofencing. So that is what it's going to be like with the cars. It's that easy to track you, and who else is around you? You say that you weren't at the grocery store at a certain time of day, but in actuality you were. Not that the grocery store is going to be, but wherever it is, it will always know where you're at and who was around you at that particular time. So it will know who the potential witnesses are for an accident. Which doesn't sound horrible. But the bottom line is who's going to do anything about this?
Yeah, therein lies the problem. You know, I'm thinking, I have backup cameras. I have sensors on the front. But who's to say there isn't a sensor or a camera on the front with that flock technology, the license plate reader?
So if it's not there, it will be.
So you know, they know, not you, but they have read the license in front of you. They know who they are.
But even if they're the higher tech ones, which so many people will be buying the new cars, the computers will all be talking to each other.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is crazy. And you know what else is crazy?
We've come to the end of the first half of the program.
Yep, we have flown through 30 minutes. My guest today in studio is Sandra Myers. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. We're going to take a pause. Stay with us, won't you? We'll be right back.
Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you. I am coming to you hat in hand because we need some help. We have a number of books that we need to reprint and got the bid in. It's well over $10,000. And we could use your help to help us get these printed, to help us offset the cost, because that's, as they say, that's real money. And I know a number of you give all you can, and I am so thankful for your continued support, your prayers. I know some of you are on a fixed income, and there's no way. Completely understand that. But if you can help us out, we would greatly appreciate the help getting these books reprinted. They are Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, very important book, very powerful. Another one is Conspiracy World. Tex was so far ahead of his time. He did a great job on that book. And long before that was Project Lucid, L-U-C-I-D. That one's ready to go to print. And there's a couple others that we're getting low on, but printing's not getting any cheaper. And we could use your help tremendously. If you want to use your charge card, you can call us toll free at 1-800-234-9673. If you care to make a donation online, you can go to our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. There's a link right there on the main page. You can click on it, put in your name, your address, your charge card, hit submit, we'll get it, and we will put it towards the printing costs. If you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. We thank you so much for your continued prayers, for your financial support. It keeps everything that Tex began plugging right along, and we couldn't do it without your help. Thank you so much, and may God richly bless you.
Okay, and now let's return to our regular program. My guest today is Sandra Meyer. Sandra, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Jerry.
Now, this is in the news a lot. I'm not sure if it's in your neighborhood yet, but hold the phone, because that's an old saying, isn't it? Hold the phone, Alice.
Yeah.
But these data centers, they are proliferating all over the country.
Yep, that's for sure. And, you know, it seems like the reports are different wherever I look. One report says that there's currently already 4,000 data centers already built. They're working on, according to the number, and I think this number is low, but it's still stupefying, they're working on another 3,000. This is monstrous. And the data centers, they're not small little buildings. They're acres and acres. One data center, I think it was in Michigan. I think in Lyons, Michigan. Oh, yes, that was it. Lyons, Michigan. And the people are in an uproar about it, thankfully. It is so big, Jerry, you being a football person, think about this. 32 football fields. One data center. One in the township of Lyons. Now imagine that 3,000 more times across the U.S. in various places. 32 football fields. You don't have to be a football fan to know that that's massive.
Monstrous.
And ugly.
True.
Because all they are is impersonal boxes. Concrete walls, flat top metal roofs, an eyesore.
Yeah.
And like most technology, see, we thought those windmills were bad. This ain't nothing.
Yeah.
That ain't nothing. This is real. Talk about eyesores. Kevin O'Leary, Mr. Wonderful, who is of Shark Tank fame and another investor in businesses and real estate and what have you. He has one that's going in Utah. He has bought 44,000 acres. I believe that's the correct number. And that is it's not going to be all 44,000 acres. That's the land parcel that he bought. But the data center is still massive. As an aside, there are 70 data centers just planned for Central Texas. 70 right here. Now, I have read some stuff here recently about data centers. They're pulling back on them some. Even our Texas Ag Commissioner, Sid Miller, he just posted an op-ed, opinion editorial, that said that maybe a pause should be put on these. It's like, yeah, you think?
Right. I know one small town, I can't remember, I think it was in California, their city council had approved a data center to be built in their community. And every person on council that voted to approve it got booted out of office. They lost their election. And the people in the town are still, I don't know if they're going to be able to stop the construction of this data center or not, but they're trying. And that it's going to take a grassroots effort from every single person in that community that's affected by this data center to get it to cease and desist.
70 of them right here in Central Texas. That's not the whole state of Texas. That is Central Texas.
How much? I've read a little bit about these data centers, how much electricity and water that they go through.
Well, it's a lot. And not only that, but around the data centers, it also generates heat. So here's the funny thing. One article that I was reading was talking about there's one area where liberals and conservatives can actually unite. The data centers. Nobody wants them. Doesn't matter, but nobody wants them. Not either side. They both recognize them for the bane on the existence of man. So it's going to suck electricity that we don't have, because as the summer takes hold, there's rolling brownouts.
Yep.
Wherever the heat is the worst, of course, the grid does not support that. California, don't drive your electric cars because it's hot here today and we need the electricity for, well, I guess it's going to be data centers
for data
now.
Centers. Yeah.
So we're going to use the smart meters in order to control the power on your house. You won't get air conditioning if you have air conditioning, but by golly, we'll have money for data centers. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Back to the football thing. I probably don't need to go here, but I'll hit you with some numbers. A football field is 57,600 square feet. That data center I was talking about is 32 of those. Quick, what's the math on that?
Ginormous. That's the math.
Yeah, that's the math. Ginormous. It's just, now people are fighting it. It's, yeah, like I said, Lyons, Michigan. 70% of people are waking up. They now say that the cost outweigh the benefits. You think? Okay. So from the liberal side and climate change, okay, that's what they teach and preach is climate change. But this is how you know that that's fake, is because the elite don't really care. They don't care that it's going to drive the temperature around that data center up by under 10 degrees, but that's pretty significant in Texas when it's 110 outside in the summertime. So poor little Taylor, Texas, outside of Austin and Round Rock, instead of 110, it's going to be 120 when that one goes in. Mm. And the people that are behind it, well, you can kind of guess. You already know. We have Elon Musk. We have Amazon, because Amazon, pardon my paper rustling, Amazon is one of the biggest suppliers of cloud-based storage for the government and for everybody's Amazon accounts. Did I mention I don't like Amazon? Okay, so you have, like I said, Elon Musk. And this is, they're not just building one data center. They're building data centers in multiple places to spread them out, because like with SpaceX, they're working on their data center in several locations. So you have Meta Platforms, which is Facebook and all that. They're doing it. The money that they're spending, $25 billion, $100 billion. It just, Monroe, Louisiana, Dallas area, North Carolina, Wisconsin, Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Nebraska, Ohio, Wisconsin, Arkansas.
What's going to happen to the farmland?
What farmland?
Oh, I guess we're going to be eating bioengineered foods anyway, so.
Yeah, probably lab-grown foods. Well, as a matter of fact, since you bring that up, there's a piece of good news on that. I always love it when the little guy wins. Okay, there is an article that's out called The Farmers Who Declined a $26 Million Offer. Why? What was it going to be sold for? What did they want it for? Well, you guessed it. You know what the topic is. A data center. This farm has been in the family since the 19th century. So they really don't want to sell it and have it developed into a data center. So let's see here. Is this in Kentucky? I think it's in Kentucky. Yep, Maysville, Kentucky. The Huddleston family. They have declined the $26 million offer. And, you know, if you want to sell it just for money, it sounds like, wow, you know, that could take care of generations. But really and truly, it's a drop in the bucket compared to what they're going to spend, compared to what they're going to do with it, compared to what it's going to look like on the land. And then one town, was it in Ohio? Their whole lake disappeared because a data center sucked it up.
Yeah.
For cooling.
This is crazy.
People need to be mad. And I'm so glad when I see things like this one farmer who declined the $26 million buyout. And I pray that there's other ones, but money is powerful and that's what they rely on. Why it's so easy to buy up chunks of farmland. And that's what they do, is they do some of this in the rural areas where there's not many people to fight it. They woo the family with money and how much that can do for their family for generations. It's not hard to sell it to them. And I kind of understand it, sort of. But I really pray we have to fight all of this takeover, whether it's in the Ford truck and all the other cars, or whether it's these horrible data centers. Like I said, we thought the windmills were bad. This is going to be even worse because the water, the electric grid, the heat that they throw off, and the noise. Neighbors complain about the So in Lyons Township is, as I recall, I think it's right outside of Detroit. So you know that the noise that one makes, should it go through, is going to be horrendous, and it's going to drive the neighbors crazy. Nobody wants to hear that. Well, they're trying to use an intercooler system where they can reuse the same water over and over, and it supposedly will help insulate some of the noise. It's not going to stop it, though. It's really not going to stop it. So, hey, there is another way that the data centers are coming out. So as if you didn't like the big boxes, they have come up with perhaps another solution. NVIDIA, which is like a graphics card maker and chip manufacturer, they call them graphics cards, but it's not really like about gaming type graphics. These are well above that. So the GPUs, graphics, something or another. Anyway, so what they have decided is that Pulte Homes, a home manufacturer, the third largest in the country, they are teaming up with NVIDIA. And they, along with NVIDIA and a little startup group, which is not so little anymore, called Span, are quietly building a network of AI servers, little data centers, bolted to the sides of your house. What could possibly go wrong? So you got the spies right there next to your house all the time, sucking the information. Plus, what it will also do is regulate your home so that, let's say, you sleep between the hours of 11 and 6 every day. So it will know this, and it will know that that's a good time to suck energy. They're saying it's going to save you energy. We know that's not true. I might have been born at night, but it wasn't last night.
Yeah.
We know that that's not going to be true. But it will work and SPAN, SPAN is a manufacturer of breaker boxes. So now SPAN has made smart breaker boxes. You already potentially have smart meters on your home, including electric and water. Now we're going to have smart breaker boxes, and that will work with the data center that's connected to your house. It'll be about the size of perhaps your air conditioning unit. You'll get one right there next to your house. It'll be part of the whole home package. You probably won't get a choice.
Probably not.
If you're buying in a new Pulte neighborhood. And what happened with the smart meters? They didn't just only put those on new homes. They later went back through and retrofitted neighborhoods with smart meters. So, you know, that's what's going to be coming down the pike too, is the new little data centers for your home that you've been in since 1960.
You know, I know after the Snowmageddon that we suffered a few years back here in Texas, and we had rolling blackouts because ERCOT didn't plan ahead, and we were too dependent upon solar and wind to help offset, and we had shut down natural gas energy producers and hydroelectric dam producers. We had just pretty much sold the farm and bet on solar and wind, and they mismanaged everything. So we had rolling blackouts. Well, then there was a new fad, and it makes sense, but it was called Generac, where you would have a generator that would be installed and to your house through your breaker box, and it would utilize solar panels to charge the battery, and then if your electricity was cut, then it would switch over and use battery. I can see one of these data centers being incorporated into something like a Generac, and people sold on that idea.
That's one of the ways that they're selling this, is that it will prevent or give you backup power.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the ways that they're using to sell this, is that there will be backup power.
And it sounds great. Yeah, I've got a backup generator. They don't tell you that it's a data center that's connected to your home.
Yep.
For your smartphone, your smart meter, your smart water, your smart fridge.
Your smart Roomba.
We're a bunch of idiots. We're not very smart if we keep signing on for this.
We do. And it's like one person thinks that they can't make a difference. But if so many of the one persons start fighting this, then it becomes a whole lot of people and we can make a difference. Now, one of the things they're worried about is security on them. There's no telling. Maybe they'll electrify the cases or something.
Oh, they'll have a camera on it to see who's breaking into it.
Yeah, that too. But that doesn't stop people. Have you noticed that? Cameras are not doing anything to actually discourage people from committing crimes.
No. I mean, how many Ring doorbell videos have we seen of people behaving badly? And we all know they're there.
Yep. So I wonder how much noise those are going to make, too, sitting next to your house going,
right.
all night long. I really wish we had a lot more time because I really want to hit on the Bible part of this, too. So I feel like, I do want to share one other thing. Here's another one. On data centers, okay? Lake Tahoe on the California-Nevada border, their electric company has given their customers notice that as of around this time next year, we're not going to give you power anymore because we're going to give it to the data center. Make plans now for what you're going to do for power.
Wow.
But we're not going to provide you power anymore because we are going to divert it to the data center.
Lake Tahoe is expensive real estate.
That's real expensive real estate. I don't understand how they can just say, too bad, so sad.
Hmm.
Are there other electrical suppliers in the area? Perhaps I should presume.
I would hope. If not, somebody might want to step up and start an electric company or a co-op.
Well, I was going to say, because, like, I have where I live, and I think where you live also, we have one electrical supplier,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. You don't have a choice. Now, if you lived in the Houston area or that vicinity, they have a number of electric companies that you can choose from. But how does that all work? Because there's still only one grid in Texas.
All interconnected.
Yes. So, the Bible. You know, all this intelligence, quote unquote, that they're gathering, all this data. You used my favorite word. You used it in an article coming up in June. You used it earlier. Hubris. The hubris of man. We think we're just so smart. And I don't care if you put all of the AI data collected that they put in all of these centers, no matter what it is, where it is, how many of them they build, even if they got to build every last one that they wanted to, they will still, their knowledge will pale in comparison to God. They may have information, but they do not have godly wisdom or knowledge. There's the key right there. God is not involved in their decision making. In 2 Timothy in chapter 3, it talks about, I'll read this to you. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Isn't that the truth? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We need to be fighting this. Those are my own words. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. If that's not a description of what's going on right now, I don't know what is. The knowledge that we seem to seek, I did a program that had, it wasn't a program, it was an article a couple of years ago called Google versus God. And it talked about turning to Google much more than turning to God. And that's what we've done here. Our knowledge, we may know a lot, but it's inconsequential. If we don't know the Bible, then everything else is for nothing. And that is happening here. These people are not, they don't have the wisdom of God. The Bible talks about getting wisdom and understanding. And when you're operating without those things, this is what we get. They've been given over to their reprobate mind. And until people start standing up to these things, honestly, makes me want to go away somewhere, some little podunk town that it takes 50 miles to get to the closest 7-Eleven, and just kind of be out there and not plugged into anything. I sound like the get off my lawn old person. You know, I'm really, really, really upset. So, in Daniel, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Knowledge may be increased, but again, without the wisdom and God's understanding, pardon my poor English, you ain't got nothing. We may have some food. We may have, they'll feed us our needs, because I'm going to tell you this on the bottom line. It's the people that feed their machine and the participation of the people that feed their machine. When we quit buying into all this stuff, they may take notice. They may still find ways to shove it down our throat. And these younger generations, non-baby boomers, millennials, Gen Xers, and all those, whatever they call them nowadays, they have been so programmed to just accept the system. We really need to be reaching out to them a lot and showing them, ask them questions that make them think. I've talked to some of you on the phone that, you know, we talk about trying to talk to people and people are so resistant. And I've told you one of my favorite ways to reach people is to ask questions. Ask questions to make them question what they're seeing. Because if you can get them to arrive at conclusions seemingly through their own deductive power, it will be more powerful than if you're trying to beat them over the head with this is the end of the world. So, but I'm going to tell you, I heard a message recently. It talked about salvation. And I have talked to a number of people who have talked about, I'm saved, so I'm good. But saved was not the end of it. Saved was the beginning of the relationship. Saved and your salvation, the apostles, as they knew Jesus when Jesus went up to heaven, they did not cease their work. They had their relationship and they wanted to tell the good news. And that is some of what we have to do. We have to talk about all the stuff that's going on around us, as well as sharing the gospel.
That's a good spot to end, Sandra.
I think it is.
Sandra, thanks for coming in studio and being a guest of Power Prophecy. I'm always intrigued and enjoy our programs together.
Well, thank you, Jerry.
That's going to take care of this week's program. Sandra and I want to thank you for tuning in and giving us an hour of your time. We greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.